Tillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, David Reed. I don't want to age you on this program, but are you old enough to remember Titans legend Travis Henry?
If you have to begin a sentence talking to me, asking if I'm old enough to remember, the answer is usually going to be yes. Yes, I do remember Travis Henry and his flock of children. Is that where we're going with this?
Well, I mean, just when it comes to Travis Henry, I was in high school when this all went down. I mean, wasn't the story with Travis Henry that, like, they came to get child support? They came to the practice field to get his child support, and the Titans had to loan him money so that he could pay the child support so he would be able to practice and not have to go to jail?
I remember that rumor. I was not there at that time, so I can't confirm nor deny that. But that, given the situation and how it escalated post-NFL career for Travis Henry, I would say that that's a good likelihood that that's something that would happen.
So I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember, again, the story was like Travis Henry had 13 kids with 14 different women or something like that. And I'll never forget my baseball coach at the time saying, man, I have got to step my game up. I have one child with one woman, and Travis Henry's out here. And so it was something that was talked about. It was something that was laughed about. So apparently I totally missed this. I have no idea how I totally missed this, but I totally and completely missed this. Terry McCormick had a report on May 13th. That may have been when I was in Costa Rica, but that's no excuse. Terry McCormick has a report. This was in the in Main Street Media, saying, quote, Tennessee Titans defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons has had a lawsuit filed for a motion of contempt against him in his home state of Mississippi regarding his alleged failure to provide sufficient medical support for his special needs son. Simmons is the respondent in a case filed on March 7th in Leake County Chancery Court, summoning him to appear in Madison County Chancery Court on May 20th in Canton, Mississippi. The complaint was filed by attorneys for plaintiff Carsala Steve, who is the mother and primary caretaker for the couple's six-year-old special needs son. She has requested an emergency hearing on the matter. The civil lawsuit seeks a modification of an agreement from October 28th of 2020 regarding the custody care for the child. In that agreement, which went into effect on November 1st, Simmons is responsible to pay $6,000 a month of child support, as well as provide health insurance and pay for medical bills and care of his son. And the latest motion filed alleges that Simmons failed to pay for a needed speech communications device for the child. In the suit filed, she also requests that a special wheelchair accessible vehicle is needed as part of a request to increase Simmons' contributions, so on and so forth. Again, I don't want to get into like the son stuff or whatever it may be, but when it comes to Simmons, first of all, I find this story to basically be bordering on the line that I'm willing to walk up to, which is, it makes me a little uncomfortable to talk about somebody and their son and their child support and everything else. Because I am trying to determine what's the line between what's too personal and what's not. And I do remember how we used to talk about Travis Henry and we used to joke about it and things like that. And this is a lawsuit, which means it becomes public information. Simmons was asked about it yesterday at camp and had no response to it. And I had no idea about the Jeffrey Simmons child support lawsuit. And again, it makes me uncomfortable to comment on. But it is a public story. And this is the kind of stuff. Chris Sanders came on in the last segment. And he was like, I know Jeffrey Simmons is a good guy. And I'm like, do you? Do you? Because when I hear a story like this, and again, who knows what's alleging what? It's a lawsuit. And Simmons could have said something yesterday, but he chose not to, and that's his business. But when it's this, and there was the video that came out when he was in high school, and then there was Marshall Yanda saying that he spit in his face, and there's just, you know, him going after Buck with that confrontation last year in public, it's where I start to hear all these things that pile up together, and I'm like, Is this really the Walter Payton Man of the Year representative for the Tennessee Titans? And I'm like, is this really the kind of dude that you want around your program? Again, we already know Simmons is incredibly moody. We already know that he's not self-aware. But it's like there's all these stories and they're all negative. It's like, dude, like, is this the kind of guy you want around Cam Ward? Is this the kind of guy you want around these young guys? I mean, the way they talk about it, it's like, oh, thank God we have the great Jeff Simmons. But then I read a story that's like, hey, he's being sued for not, again, providing the medical care that he's supposed to. He's being sued for it. And this guy makes $23.5 million a year. The report says, according to a letter from Steve's attorney, Keith Gates, to Simmons' attorney, dated on January 23rd, Gates writes, the support order specifically mandates that your client provide all the financial medical support for his child, which is crucial for his well-being and development. As outlined in the support order, your client is required to provide insurance as well as to pay for all medicine, medical devices, and medical treatments that are required for the child. However, it has come to my attention that your client has failed to provide the proper medical care as needed by the child, and there have been instances where these requirements have not fully been met. This has resulted in significant challenges in ensuring that the child receives necessary medical care and support. I kindly request that your client takes immediate action to comply with the terms of the support order. According to the letter, Steve requested a second time through the previous support order that Simmons pay for a communications device. I'm like, again, can we get a positive story? I know he and Jelly Roll went to the, he and Jelly Roll went to the prison or whatever, and they met with the inmates to give them hope and things like that. But can we get like a positive story? Like, and I mean like a really, truly positive story. I'm just starting to see this stuff, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like, is this the guy you want around here? Is this the guy you want to put up on the buildings? Is this the guy you want when, again, it's everybody's walking on eggshells, it feels like, around there? Again, these coaches get asked about it, and Denard Wilson's like, his attitude has been incredible. Been there for one day. His attitude's been incredible. It just seems all kind of phony to me. And that's what all I really ask for, again, is this intellectual honesty. That is like, hey, man, if you want to be Barry Bonds, go be Barry Bonds. But at least just be it. And so I got to say, again, this was another Jeffrey Simmons story. And it does feel to me like this is, again, it's not funny like the Travis Henry stuff was funny, although who knows where that is now. But it's just doesn't seem right. Again, it's another story about Simmons. At what point do we add all this up and say, yeah, I don't know if this is a guy you want on your team. Remember when they drafted him and they brought Amy Adams Strunk into the draft room or into the press conference because they wanted to talk about his character? Well, I mean, I've got a pretty good feeling now on Jeffrey Simmons' character. It ain't great. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It ain't great. Because it's always one incident after another one. And this is, again, I guess another one where it's like, here's a headline in a story that is absolutely incredibly negative. Now, TD has texted me. And TD says that the Simmons stuff has been solved, has been resolved. So at least that's one box that's checked. But again, I'm talking about when it comes to wanting this guy on your team, when it comes to this guy being your Walter Payton Man of the Year, it's like, does not seem right. 615-737-1025. We'll get into more of your phones. 615-737-1025. And we got to talk about something Paul said this morning about this story. And I'm kind of laughing about it, but I'm also kind of disappointed by it. So I've got a thought. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. Stillman and Company. So this morning, I was actually with my dad. We were in the car. We were taking my dog and his dogs, and we were going somewhere. And again, that's kind of neither here nor there. But we had dropped the dogs off. We're on our way back. And Robbie Stanley, listening to Robbie and Rexford, Robbie was like, PK has a rant that he's going to do today on the program. And I turned to my dad in the car and I said, I know exactly what this rant is. I know exactly what it is. I said, I bet it is PK going off on podcasters and content creators who don't even live in Nashville, who quote unquote cover the Titans, who are making podcasts about Cam Ward's incredible day at minicamp yesterday, who weren't there. I mean, Reed, back me up on this. That is a bowling ball right up Paul's alley, you know, right for a strike of media guys that aren't even, you know, credentialed media guys that are doing podcasts, gassing fans up about things they didn't see.
Oh, if ever there was a lane for someone in the media to complain about that, that's his lane. Like, stay out of it.
So I just knew. I just knew that's what that was going to be. So I waited to hear if that's what it was. It actually wasn't. And I was surprised by what his rant was about. And I was, quite frankly, kind of appalled. So, again, we brought up the story that Terry McCormick reported about Jeffrey Simmons and the legal issues surrounding the mother of his child and his child, his medical care and everything else. And Paul tells the story of how he was the one that had to ask Simmons about it yesterday on the practice field. Here was Paul's story. Let's play the first cut first, which I'm a little disappointed in Terry McCormick after hearing.
I talked to Terry about this a couple times in the press room because we thought Simmons might have been available, you know, during the first open OTA before we knew he wasn't around and all of that. And I said to Terry, you're going to ask him about this, right? Like, it's your story. He said, oh, yeah, I'll ask him about it. I don't care. You know, because I feel like the LeJarius Sneed thing I've been covering, which is a much more complicated and much more serious case with a felony pending. But I'll absolutely follow through on that to the degree that I've been following it. And it's a complicated case, and I've been talking to DAs and police and all of that. So we get out there. Jeff talks for like 12 minutes. It's winding down. I'm looking for McCormick, and he's nowhere to be found. He's 3 feet behind the scrum doing this thing that we all probably have this look once in a while where he's like already withdrawn from the Simmons thing, and he's got this look on his face where he's like looking around like who he's going to talk to next. And I'm like, what the hell? What the hell? So I'm left to ask Simmons. Now, we know the odds are that Simmons is not going to come.
Correct.
But the obligation is if you've reported a story that's this woman's side of the story, you need to give Jeff a chance to tell his side of the story. Now, I know a bunch of people are out there saying, well, Simmons isn't going to say anything. Well, that's fine if Simmons isn't going to say anything. We have to give him the opportunity to say something,
yes,
and get on the record that he's not going to say anything. So I ask him, and he says, I'm not going to talk about that. And then, of course, he says, I knew you'd be the guy to ask that, right? So I'm the jerk, right? I have to be the jerk. And Terry can't take the bullet for his own story, which he got plenty of clicks on when he put out the case, right?
I'm on Paul's side. Terry's got to ask that question. And the fact that Paul talked to Terry about it ahead of time, again, according to Paul, the fact that Paul talked to Terry McCormick about it ahead of time, and Terry was like, yeah, I'm going to ask it, and then he didn't ask it, that's a bad look. You know, it reminds me, my first year that I was here, and the Titans were absolutely awful. Awful. Ken Wisenhunt was the coach. You guys remember it. And I asked Floyd, again, I was young, I was 25 years old. And I said to Floyd, I go, I'm going to ask Ken Wisenhunt about the play calling. Like, I think it's time for him to give it up. And I'm going to ask him if he thinks that he's considered giving up the play calling. And Floyd said to me, he goes, totally legit, totally fair question. So I went there and I asked and I said, you know, hey, you're 30th in the league in offense. Have you considered giving up the play calling? And Ken Wisenhunt was like, oh, I haven't really thought about it. Da, 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 da. John Glennon asked a question about Harry Douglas's injury, which tells you how long ago this was. Again, that was the question. Harry Douglas's injury. And Wisenhunt just goes back to me and goes, what do you think? I said, what do you mean? He goes, what do you think about what you asked me? And I was like, the play calling? He said, yeah. I was like, I think you should give it up. And people in the room were like, whoa. And Terry McCormick was sitting behind me and just goes, shh. Like, as if the coach didn't ask me what I thought. I'm like, no. This is the new way to do this. We're going to ask the question. So I'm disappointed. And I think some people will say, well, Paul's just making this about himself. Or in fairness, I do think that Paul Kuharsky looks like the bad guy a lot of the time because of his own doing. But in this case, he's not the bad guy. Terry's got to ask the question. If you're going to publish the story, and he published the story, you have to ask the question. He didn't ask the question. That's not the part that bothers me the most, though. This is the part that bothers me the most. And it is when Paul discusses the junior reporters that were there and their reaction to the situation. Play the cut.
And so I say to a couple other guys, you know, Easton Freeze and TJ Runke, when we're walking in, what jerks.
JT Runke, I think, but sure.
JT. Keep going. Did You're I say TJ?
You said TJ.
I apologize. JT's a great guy.
He's worked up.
He produces my podcast. I love him. So we're walking into the building and I say, you guys, just all of you are so damn soft. Like, you'll talk on your shows all about this case, all about the Snead case, and none of you will have done any work on any of it or asked a difficult question on any of it. And they go, yeah. I said, like, so Simmons will be mad at me again over this. Snead will be mad at me over that when I do it. And you won't have asked anything about it. You'll just hang me out to dry and let me ask it. I said, yeah.
That drives me crazy. And I will tell you why. Because while I talk about a lot of things that other people report, you guys know me. I do my own dirty work. If I've got to ask a confrontational question, I ask it. If I feel like somebody doesn't, and we got these young guys out here that want to do this, that want people to listen to them, that want people to believe that they have an authority on the team, and they are just openly saying, yeah, we're not going to ask the controversial stuff. We'll make Paul do it. Again, as somebody who does ask controversial stuff, that's weak. That's soft. Now, if that didn't happen, and TJ Runke and Easton Freeze can say, you know, hey, that's not true. Paul made that up. I have no idea. I'm guessing that's not made up. If that's true, if those guys were like, yeah, we're going to talk about the controversial stuff, but we're not going to ask about the controversial stuff because we don't want to do it, that's weak. That's soft. And that's embarrassing to be a media member. Like, again, I don't understand this. Sometimes I think people just want other people to like them. So they want a show. So they can tell people, oh, I've got a show. You know, and so it's like, that's really, the point of the show is not to do the show. The point of the show is not to entertain other people. The point of the show is not to get people to listen or watch the show so that you can make money for doing that. The point of the show is to say to other people, I have a show. And I think there are far too many people in this industry that do that. Well, if you can't have the stones to ask a real question, why would anybody ever take anything you say seriously? I gotta say, again, a lot of times people don't care about the intertwined media this, media that, and I get it. And I know because I'm in the media, I care about these things a little bit more. But I think Paul was right this morning to go on a rant about this. And to highlight the fact that everybody thinks he's a total a-hole, and oftentimes it's because, no disrespect, but he's the one doing it. But in this case, he's the one that had to do it because nobody else apparently wanted to do it. And I think he was right to call out Terry McCormick for that, and he was right to call out these junior guys for it because, again, I mean, these guys, they're going to try to act like real big time, actual covering the team people, but they don't have the stones to actually do it. I was stunned. Again, I thought his rant was going to be about people not being at camp yesterday, that we're talking about Cam Ward's day at camp. And instead, it was this, and I truly was appalled. And I'm on his side. 615-737-1025. Add that to the list. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. It's 1025-1063 The Game.
It's very crucial. Like I said, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I had no question. It wasn't no question for me not to be here for mandatory minicamp. Like I said, it was the voluntary stuff that I wasn't here for. But, you know, just to be around the guys, to be able to, I know it's not that much time, but being around the guys, spend time with them out of the building, being able to spend that quality time, not just on the field, but off the field. You know, just try to build more relationships, like since I haven't been here, but it's very crucial. And not just off the field, but when we on the field, you know, just to try to get a connection with Cody, all these new guys that's on the defense side of the ball. So, you know, it's going to be big on the field and in the locker room and outside of the building.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons after saying that it wasn't crucial, or he didn't say it wasn't crucial for him not to be there for OTAs, but after skipping for a couple months, says the 3 days, absolutely crucial. Let's get to your phones. TD, by the way, has hopped in. TD has something he wants to say. TD, floor's yours.
Yeah, so this whole idea that Paul Kucharski is the only one to ask Jeffrey Simmons about this and this idea that he was forced to do it is complete bullcrap, right? So here's the thing, all right? I need you to understand that just because things don't happen in a press conference doesn't mean that it didn't happen, number one. And then number two, it, from what some people understand, is an ongoing legal matter. So why would he comment about that in a press conference? Okay. But as someone who, and I responded to PK's tweet, and I said specifically, I have a different way of doing things, right? And so I just talked to Jeff personally about it. In fact, I've talked to Jeff personally about it multiple times. And when I last talked to him about it yesterday, he said that it was handled. Now, I'll have more details as I continue to gather more information, but everybody is sitting here getting all up in arms about the situation, but they don't know the details. So I get it. It is something that has to be reported. But this whole idea that PK is somehow a victim and was forced to ask because no one else did is nonsense. And you don't even know anything about that situation because you weren't there, but you're sitting here talking about it like you were right in the middle and saw everything. You got to stop talking out of ignorance because you don't have a clue what happened.
But in fairness, I mean, I didn't even know the story existed until yesterday.
No,
but
I told you about the story a month ago. What are you talking about? I told you a month ago about this.
I will say.
Oh, I will say.
If Paul said to Terry McCormick that, hey, are you going to ask the question? There's no way that either of them would know that you privately talked to Jeff about it. You know what I mean?
They saw me approach him after the scrum.
Right, but that was after the scrum. Paul's saying, like, hey, when Simmons is talking on the record, Terry, you're going to ask about this. Terry said, according to Paul, Terry said, yes, he would ask about it, and then he didn't ask about it, so Paul felt the need to ask about it, and I do have sympathy for Paul in that
okay,
one
so,
regard.
So because one person didn't ask the question he wanted them to ask, he was forced to? Like, come on, man. There was a whole thing, a mini camp, where the defense dominated today. Like, we're not going to talk about that? Like, I don't understand why. And it just – I'm going to be honest. And, again, like, I'm not excusing. I'm explaining. It just seems like there's a personal thing against Jeffrey Simmons from some of you guys. And I don't know why. But I am with everyone in that he needs to be more productive and he needs to be a better player. But, like, this personal thing that people seem to have against him, like, I don't get it.
Well, I feel offended by the way that Simmons basically acts. Like, I find it to be intellectually dishonest and insulting with the way that Simmons will skip all of OTAs and then go and tell everybody what, you know, that he's the leader of the team. Or that Simmons will sit there and tell us how crucial mandatory mini camp for 3 days are to get on the same page after he skipped a month and a half worth of OTAs. Or how Simmons will talk about how, you know, the pass rush, we have to get on the same page. It's about all four guys getting on the same page, and he doesn't show up. Or about how he'll make excuses for why he doesn't get sacks when everybody is saying, including the coach, that he needs to go get more sacks. And then Simmons gets upset about it. Like, that's what I find that to be intellectually dishonest.
Say he needs to get more sacks? You never heard him say that?
No, fact, I've heard him make excuses about why he doesn't get sacks.
He just said it yesterday. But to me, okay, so is Jeffrey Simmons the only one that has missed OTAs like over the last X amount of years?
They had 90 of 91 people present for OTAs 2 weeks ago. Simmons was the one who decided not to show up.
And you know what? I said that he needed to be there. And I said that optically it is bad because he's supposed to be the leader and they're connecting, and that's something that he needs to do. So I'm with you on that. He should have been there, you know, but it's a personal decision. Whatever reason, he decided not to.
To me, that's a professional decision to not be there, not a personal
decision. It's a professional decision to not be there for voluntary OTAs? I mean, was it a professional decision when Derrick Henry, even before the 2K season, was not here for voluntary OTAs?
Well, that was during COVID. There wasn't an OTA.
Well, no, there were OTAs.
But Derrick Henry
Football existed before COVID, Jarrett Stillman.
But like, to that
let's not
point,
act like it didn't.
Derrick Henry was, again, on the franchise tag. I don't even think he had signed it up until that point, until training camp. Again, I understand when a guy misses a voluntary OTA because he's got a contract issue or Kirk Cousins, you know, isn't happy with his situation. Like, that is par for the course. But for Simmons to just not show up and claim to be a leader when the coach has said that, hey, this offseason leadership – you know, it's very important, development, teamwork, all of that. And for Simmons to be the one guy that says, I'm good, I don't need it, that to me is incredibly telling.
So because of that, you have a personal issue with this man? Like, are you a fan or are you an analyst? Like, which one are you?
Again, you have to separate
the emotion because that's
right.
going to allow you to be
My
objective.
Analysis is the things that come out of his mouth are ridiculous when he says that mandatory minicamp's crucial but OTAs aren't.
Like I said, it seems very much like you have a personal thing with this man, and I don't know what the man has done to you, but like I don't.
He hasn't done anything to me again.
Well, that's a damn shame. He hasn't done anything to you. You have this degree of a personal vendetta against him.
What makes it personal?
A lot of it. I mean, you look your show consistently. Is built upon somehow trying to take a shot at this man or be overly critical.
It's not a shot. It's the story right now. That's the story. The story is Jeffrey Simmons has decided he's going to do things his way, and he won't explain why he's doing things his way, which leads to this vacuum of speculation. And I'm telling you, I think the Titans and he are headed for a divorce.
Okay. It remains to be seen. I know that things are good on that side of things, but you never know how a situation could get. But to me, I just felt the need to jump on because of this whole idea that no one was willing or, as you said, had the stones to ask this question. That's false.
But I didn't say nobody had it. I only talked about Terry and Easton Freeze
and TJ Runkle.
You
said the media group. You said to me, because that's what literally made me get up out of the studio and come in here and say, oh, no, we got to fix this.
I went out of my way to make sure I didn't say that the media was soft.
I didn't say you said that. I didn't say, because you know I ain't soft. I didn't say you said that. But what I am saying is I did hear you say that no one had the stones to ask the question. And that's why PK had to, which is wrong.
Again, I'm just going off of what he said.
Well, I'm just going off of what the truth is.
But how am I supposed to know? How's PK supposed to know what you privately talked to Simmons about?
This, like a lot of other things, you speak out of ignorance, and it ends up being arrogantly ignorant, right? Where it's wrong. There were other people. Me, I spoke to Jeff about it.
But did you speak to him on the record about it?
It's on the record.
And what did he say on the record?
He said that it's been resolved.
Okay. Then we got that. TD, good to see you as always.
Great to be seen.
And we'll have TD's full breakdown of minicamp tomorrow. We will get to your phones next. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Jeff, coming back in the shape that he did, how beneficial is that going to be for him and for you guys in the way that you deployed?
Oh, it's going to be beneficial all the way around. First of all, I'm jealous, right? Because when I look at him, I'm like, damn, he looks great right now. So he's inspired me to go get in better shape this offseason. So I might do a little bit of training. But I think that, you know, Jeff is coming back and he's trying to be the best version of himself. He's in great shape right now and his attitude is unbelievable. You know, we have the mindset around here right now, and especially on defense, and every rep, everything we do, refuse to lose. And he has that mindset. He refuses to lose, and there's no excuse. And that's for all of us as a defense. And so I like where he's at. I like the energy that he brings when he's around here. I like the attention to detail, how demanding he is with the other players. So I think that Jeff's going to take another step. He's going to be the best version of himself, and, you know, we'll line up, and people going to have to deal with him.
There you go. That was Denard Wilson. If you wanted some positive Jeffrey Simmons talk, there you go. Again, I you know, people in the text line are saying, you know, this is a whole, in the YouTube chat, it's all back and forth. It's a, again, the reason that we're talking Jeffrey Simmons is because it is the story. Like, it is the story. And you want to know why it's the story? Do you know why? David Reed, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you know why this is the story, the Jeffrey Simmons saga?
Because he made it a story?
He made it a story. He didn't show up to OTAs. That's on him. Again, we all know this. We played the cut from the Raw Room where Darren Bates and Delanie Walker talked about when Mike Vrabel was the coach of the Titans, how Kevin Dodd sat down inside the facility and they kicked his ass out of the meeting room because he didn't show up for OTAs and Vrabel got rid of him. And they were like, yeah, that's not, it is not, yeah, I know it's voluntary, but it's not voluntary. Simmons made it the story by not showing up. And then Simmons doesn't show up. Simmons shows up for mandatory minicamp. And he has the nerve to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I think it's very critical that I'm here for mandatory minicamp because we got a lot we got to get done. I don't know, maybe do that during OTAs? And if Simmons was in a contract dispute, I get it. But he wasn't. He was not in a contract dispute. When Jamar Chase and T. Higgins don't show up for OTAs because they don't have a contract, I get it. If Jamar Chase and T. Higgins this year with a contract decided to not show up, I'd have a problem with it. Simmons has a contract. So, again, he made it the story. It's not. This is football. This is a team. Simmons made this the story, not me. And, again, the one thing that I'm pretty good at is I will bang the crap out of a story. Like, I will, when there's a big story, I am on it. Today, I spent on Mad Dog with 3 hours, and I spent 2 hours and 30 minutes on the NBA and how it sucks. Because for some reason, I could just say the same things over and over again. One texter says, I seldom ever agree with Jared, but today my hat is off to him. We want answers, just like you. We don't want to stick up for the players. We want to know the answers. But, and Mike continues to say that, again, I don't worry about getting on people's bad side because when I was in Louisville, I felt this giant fork in the road. Again, I went to college there. I worked in the athletic department there. I was drinking buddies, you know, from college with people that were in positions of power there. And I knew, I was like, hey, at some point, like being on the radio, there's going to be a push comes to shove moment. Oh, there's this fork in the road. And there's a guy in the media there in Louisville who is just so homerific, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want him to get pissed off at me because I'm not in the mood to have him pissed off at me because he didn't do anything wrong, but he was a total homer back in the day. And I remember thinking, like, I'm at a fork in the road, and there's two places to go. There's either the side that I can take of where, hey, I can make everybody happy, or there's the I can say what I think is true and people are going to be mad about it. And I've just accepted that that's how it's going to be with me. Now, again, I didn't have anything to do with this. This was PK and Terry McCormick and everybody else and whatnot. But I just know, like, I'm not going to be friends with coaches and general managers and players, and I'm okay with that. Like, I don't need to be friends with those people. I need to do my job. That's how I feel. And I'm sure Paul feels the same way. Texter says, if it was just you talking about it, I think it would be a personal thing, but it's not. It's been all day. Most of the conversation has been about Simmons. It is an issue that needs to be talked about. I agree. I mean, again, my thing is when it comes to, like, what's personal and what's not. Yesterday, Simmons was talking about how it was a personal decision to not show up to OTAs. That's not a personal decision. That's a professional decision. Again, I named my son Jack. By the way, happy six-month birthday, Jack. Happy first half birthday or whatever. But I named my son Jack. That was a personal decision. That was also made by Lindsay, not just me. But that was a personal decision. Today, I chose not to go to Titans minicamp because SiriusXM had asked me to host Dog Days from 12 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 2 Central, which I will be doing, by the way, tomorrow and Friday. And so I made the professional decision to host the show on Sirius as opposed to being at minicamp. That's the difference between a professional decision and a personal decision. That's all I'm saying. Boy, the text line is just on fire. One texter says, none of this would be an issue if Simmons and A showed up to OTAs and B didn't self-describe himself as a leader of the team. He can describe himself as a leader of the team all he wants without issue if his actions reflect that as a description. Again, I don't ever remember. We had the same discussion about Ryan Tannehill and the Celsius ad. Voluntary workouts, Ryan Tannehill's not there, and he posts a photo on a boat with a Celsius can. And it's like, oh, God, okay, are you the leader or are you out here drinking a couple Celsius's? And I remember when Ryan Tannehill was asked about it, he's like, really, my Celsius ad? That's what got people mad? Yes, because you're the quarterback. You're the leader. It's different. Stuff matters. Like, that stuff matters. Lamar says, when the owner is Amy Adams Strunk, I wouldn't show up either. That's the problem. They don't respect her, and she doesn't care about them. I wouldn't say she doesn't care about them. I've said, you know, I've told the story about Amy when Floyd got sick and the way that she treated it, and I firmly believe that that is who her character is, that she does have that heart. And I'm not going to knock that, even if I knock decisions she makes running the football team. Now, I do think there's something there. And I know TD said that things between the Titans and Simmons aren't, he doesn't think they're headed for a divorce, and he would know better than I would. But I think Jeffrey Simmons is looking at a team that has fallen apart. You know, for a lot of these guys here, either they're here because the Titans wanted to pay them, and they knew the Titans sucked, but they needed the check or they wanted the check, so they took it. That's probably how Snead feels. That's probably how Dan Moore feels. That's probably how, hey, man, I'm on this crap team because they're paying me to be here. Some of these guys, this is all they know. Levis and Spears and Latham and Sweat and Brownlee, this is all they know. This is not all Simmons knows. Jeffrey Simmons was on this team when it was good. And he was one of the better players when he was on this team when it was good. Think of this like a fraternity. And inside the fraternity, the high-end guys are me and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and Danico Autry and Kevin Byard and Jonnu Smith, and all these guys are gone except for Simmons. So this team sucks, and Simmons is expected to lead this team, and they downgraded a coach. And they've added in all these other guys. And I understand Simmons being frustrated with the direction of the team. I'd be frustrated with the direction of the team if I was on it too. Especially if I was used to winning. I mean, give me a break. One texter said, let's be honest, since you don't really talk about anything other than the NFL, if you didn't have this Jeffrey Simmons saga, you wouldn't have anything to talk about. It's going to be a long summer unless you get off the Jeffrey Simmons wagon. So I heard somebody call Robbie and Joe this morning. And I don't know. You know, it's funny to me because growing up, I don't ever remember anybody being like, I want to be a talk show host when I grow up. Or I want to be a broadcaster when I grow up. I didn't want to be a broadcaster when I grew up. I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I didn't want to be that. And at the same time, now it's like the broadcasters, and I'm not talking about us in local radio, but I'm talking about bigger picture, have become almost bigger than the games. Stephen A. Smith, like he's bigger than the games, bigger than the teams he covers. Skip Bayless was that way for a while. And the reason I say this is because a guy called into Robbie and Retro this morning and was like, I know it's June, as if there's nothing else to talk about, as if Cam Ward's performance isn't worth talking about, as if the NBA Finals. Now, I don't think the NBA Finals are worth talking about, but if I was really scraping for content today, I could talk NBA Finals because there's enough people here that are watching the NBA Finals. We can talk about this. We have a lot to talk about, but this is the story. It is a star player who put his middle finger to the team, who doesn't want to talk about it, who is just oozing drama. This isn't a, I'm looking for something to talk about. This is the story. And if there's anything you've learned, it's that when you're the story, it's a big deal around here. You know what I'm not talking about? What's not a big deal to me? Will Levis is not a big deal to me. And here's why. Because if the Titans trade Will Levis, they're not going to get anything of value in return. It's going to be for a sixth round pick. Big freaking deal. Will Levis is not going to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. He is not going to beat out Cam Ward for the job. And if he does beat out Cam Ward for the job, then the story is really about Ward. It's not about Levis. This time last year, Levis was the number one guy in town. The difference? He's not the story anymore. I just love when people say things like, oh, yeah, you're just looking for something to talk about. No, we got tons of stuff to talk about. This is the story today. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the Stillman and Company program. Coming up next, so I heard something on the Rich Eisen show, of all places, about Cam Ward and the Titans, and it truly, truly set me off. We'll get to that next. I'm going to cover 1025, 106 for the game.